A study of the people who make up the expert US disease panels, which make changes to the definitions and diagnostic factors of common conditions, has found that 75% of them have links to major medical and pharmaceutical companies. The panel members make recommendations on conditions like hypertension, cholesterol, Alzheimer's disease, and rheumatoid arthritis. These recommendations can lead to more preventative medication being prescribed. The study's lead author is with a Queensland university. He's told AM that while he doesn't think individual panel members are swayed by their industry links, it's clear there is too much conflict of interest. Tom Nightingale reports.
The top medical panels in the US have a massive influence on what happens elsewhere, including in Australia. But Bond University's Ray Moynihan says those panels are tainted.
We're not talking about individuals acting corruptly. We're talking about a sense of systemic corruption.
He's the lead author of a study that has found 3 in every 4 panel members disclosed a link with a company, like an advisory or a research role. Of those, the average panel member disclosed 7 industry links.
We're talking about the extensive nature of entanglement between the pharmaceutical industry and the medical profession being out of control. And the most senior pillars of the medical establishment are acknowledging that that entanglement is far too widespread. And there are strong calls repeatedly from the leaders of the medical establishment to start trying to wind back the extent of that entanglement, because these financial interests, these financial ties, have the potential to subtly distort professional judgment.
Ray Moynihan says the research is the first in the world studying the work of expert panels for multiple diseases. But it's not unusual for top medical brains to have links with major companies. Dr. Steve Hambleton is the president of the Australian Medical Association.
Well, I think that the key researchers that are doing this work will, and most often will, have pharmaceutical company links. The top researchers are not the clinicians out in the community that are relying on that research. They're people working in universities. They're participating in those phase 2 and phase 3 trials.
But why, though, if we take the case of a university researcher, why would someone in that position be likely to have a link with a drug company? Why is that so common?
Well, it's so common because the big funding that's required when a new drug comes to market will often come from that pharmaceutical company investing in its drug to see whether it actually works.
The study included 10 panel papers that resulted in broader disease definitions. Ray Moynihan says none appeared to examine the potential harm in doing so.
What we're seeing is something of a pattern of disease definitions being broadened, potentially broadened too far, so that people with milder symptoms or at lower risks are being labelled and treated, potentially doing them more harm than good.
But Dr. Hambleton says changes are made legitimately.
So all these things are useful for the population, useful for doctors to help their patients make decisions about their care.
The study is being published today in the Public Library of Science Medicine journal.
Tom Nightingale.